Hi everyone, Kara Welke with the Next Level Occupational Therapy Platform. Thank you so much for joining us. The Next Level Occupational Therapy Platform is a community of occupational therapy professionals committed to take occupational therapy to the next level. Today, I am excited as I'm going to be interviewing Lisa Haverly. She is an occupational therapist and owner of the Rainbow Tree Therapies. Lisa has worked as an occupational therapist in the school setting since 1998. She has her master's degree in OT from St. Catharines in St. Paul, Minnesota, and a Bachelor of Arts degree in psychology from the Augustana University in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And I have to get a shout out because we're both from South Dakota. Lisa's passion is working with children and supporting them in their development. Though Lisa has continued to serve children in the school setting, in 2013, she launched her first summer of therapeutic camps for children with and without learning needs. I mean, this is awesome, everyone. I'm so excited. Her current dream and business, Rainbow Tree Therapies, is in Wisconsin, and it came to fruition. As I said, in what year, 2013 is when you started it? Yep. So she recently celebrated her seventh summer of camps. Lisa's passion for kids evolved from supporting children in school to having a strong desire to reconnect children with nature spaces and to bring back a focus on play as a fundamental requirement for development. Nature and the outdoors is the perfect stress-free environment where kids can be encouraged to not only discover the wonder of nature, but develop lifelong skills. She is grateful for children she continues to learn from. She is honored to support them in development and recognize them as a gift to the world. And she looks forward to seeing what the future holds for Rainbow Tree as she is actually working on expanding her services and supports for children and families. So thank you so much for being here. I'm so excited. Tell us everything you can about your current business and these summer camps.
Sure. Thanks for the opportunity, Kara. I appreciate it. We just celebrated our seventh summer, which is like crazy to believe. I grew from starting with three camps to now eight camps. They're all a week long, most of them, and only a half a day. And the focus kind of is camp dependent, but I range from just motor coordination and actually speech and language focus to more psychosocial focus, bringing in the kind of the mind-body connection, supporting kids with stress management, those kind of things. So it's a range of camps. I'm trying to think what else I can say about my camps. It's open to all children, really. It's not just focused on children with unique learning needs or special needs. I have an integration of what would be considered more typical developing children with kids who have learning challenges. And I have found that to be just a fabulous integration and great learning for all children then. That's kind of what I'm doing right now. I have camps that have more of a rhythm kind of component. So I have drumming camps that happen. I have a camp called self-care, which more self-care is about self-awareness. And like I said, the psychosocial kind of stress management tools for kids nowadays that have anxiety. So that's kind of what we've been working on. And right now, actually this week, I am launching more of a focus on private practice. And so seeing what that kind of entails and supporting kids more in small group or individually with therapeutic goals and the assessment and that whole thing. So that's where I'm at today.
That's awesome. So let's talk about like your camps. They're 1 week long?
Most of them, yes. Yes.
Okay. Yep. And how many do you usually have at a time in your camp?
Yes. I cap it between 10 and 12. That for me feels like a manageable number, and I really hold true to making it feel like an intimate kind of camp experience. So not large numbers of campers, and my ratio is three campers to every one adult, if not more so. I have some fabulous speech and language pathologists who work with me, and then I have, an abundance of volunteers. And so I have a very awesome ratio of adult support. So did I answer your question about how many?
Yep.
Yeah, about 10 to 12. Yep.
Okay. Yep. And so you said you have speech language pathologists that are with you doing the camp as well?
I do. Okay. And OTs as well, but my colleagues, the speech and language pathologists, Michelle and Rachel, they have been with me from the start. And so that's one of my tips, is to surround yourself with wonderful people who believe in your passion and your dreams. But yes, and so they're kind of my, you know, always present people for the most part. And then I have volunteers from St. Kate's and other OT programs. So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to need to get some OTA students sent your way to volunteer. That would be awesome.
Yes.
Okay, and you said you do a half a day. Can you walk us through like a morning routine of one of your camps?
Sure. Our camps are definitely a combination of guided activities, and then we always try to provide some free play, some self-guided play. But so the campers arrive and we do an opening, kind of talking about what our day is going to look like. And then how I like to do it is we have stations. And so we, like two or three campers per station, and the stations all have a different focus. It might be a language focus. It might be a motor focus, either gross or fine motor. I have a camp where we have animals. And so there might be some therapeutic horse riding. There might be just an interaction with a different kind of animal, like a therapy dog. That might be one station. So I have stations. And then from stations, it might be snack time. And then from snack time, it might be free play. There's usually a musical component for rhythm and all the pieces that come with exposure to music. And then we usually wrap up. I'm big into mindfulness and meditation. And so we try to close our camps with something mindful. I do have camps that are kind of geared a lot towards mindfulness and meditation, but I always try to kind of start with a bang and then we kind of bring it back down. And that's just a part of teaching kind of those self-regulation skills too. So, yeah.
Well, a couple thoughts. One, I'd love my kids to come to this camp. Two, I'd love to do something like this as well, as if I don't have anything going on. But what Okay, so what ages for the camp?
I usually typically say age 4 through about 14. And so on my camps, I have age ranges, and that seems to have worked really well to have kind of a range of campers for ages. You know, if I'm doing higher level concepts, obviously that's going to be older campers, especially for the mindfulness piece and really teaching kind of specific tools and strategies on how you can keep a calm body or how you can regain focus or manage your stress. And so that's definitely for the upper ages. But for, you know, I've done some 3-year-old camps too. So kind of 3 to 14 is my age range.
Okay. And like when you do a camp, you might have kids from 3 to 14 all there, or do you do one camp specifically for like the 3-year-olds, one for the certain ages?
Yeah. And so if I'm doing a 4-year-old camp, it's usually like a 4 to 6 and then, or 4 to 7, and because I do handwriting camps too, and so that might be broken down a little bit even smaller, like 4 and 5 year olds, 6 and 7 year olds, because really development needs to kind of be there to support writing. And you know, I'm not going to have a 12-year-old doing, you know, uppercase letters. So
okay,
so it is geared towards specific age ranges, but not the whole gamut typically.
Okay, so this handwriting camp, that's a great idea too.
Yeah.
So the whole week is focused on handwriting?
It is. And so how I tend to do that is, you know, what's kind of missing out there is the whole idea that we need our bodies to be developed to be able to write. And so it's a big part of core strength and fine motor skills, and then multisensory learning of writing. So the actual using a pencil is maybe the last 10 to 15 minutes of the camp. Everything else is working on preparing our bodies to be able to write and learning how to write the letter in a more fun way, and then using the pencils at the very end, just because I want it to be fun because it's a camp too. But writing can be very stressful, and so I try to make it fun and engaging, and it's been well received. So, yeah, that's a fun one.
So where do you hold these camps at?
Yeah. Right now, they're in my backyard. And if I turn my computer, you could see outdoors, but I don't have great cell reception or internet, so I couldn't do it outside. So right now, that is where I'm at, believe it or not, on my less than 5 acres. So, yeah.
Well, that's pretty awesome, though, that you can have it there. And
yeah.
You do the horse riding there too, or the?
No. And so my husband just built me some lean-tos and some fencing, and now we have a couple sheep, and I'm boarding my friend's horse, Eclipse. And so, yeah, here we go. It's all happening right here, right now. So,
as far as, do you have kids come to multiple camps this summer, or how does that work?
I do. Okay. It's been amazing. It's been so well received. I've had campers that have been with me since 2013. And I have campers that come to multiple camps, which is fabulous. And I've actually increased the age so that I can keep my campers that have been coming, because they're such wonderful. They see the value, and I appreciate that so much. So I will provide for them as long as they're children. So.
Yeah. Do you have morning and afternoon sessions?
This summer, for the first time, I've had to do morning and afternoon, just because there's only so many weeks in the summer, and there's been some demand, and I've kind of shifted things a little bit as I've, you know, just taken notice of what works and what might not be working. And so my self-awareness camp, I actually split to girls and boys, just because their needs are a little bit different. And so I do have morning and afternoon, but historically, it's been primarily morning, and then I spend the rest of the day prepping and preparing for the next day. But so morning and afternoon, if I need to do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you ever thought about doing these camps year round? I mean, I know in the school you can't, but like after school hour camps or something?
That, you know, I'm looking at that now. So my camps in the fall and the winter and the spring have been looked more like retreats. And so I'll do like a Saturday, you know, 4 or 5 hour retreat with similar focuses. And so I've done that, but I haven't done the week-long camp during the school year. But that might be a good idea.
Yeah. Or like an after school.
Yeah.
You know, like 3:30 to 4:30 or 5:30 or something instead of.
Yeah.
Gosh, or holiday, over the holiday break.
Or over the holiday. Yeah, yeah. I thought of that. So we'll see if that comes. Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about, as far as payment, obviously it's for the week long. How much do you usually charge, or what's kind of your range?
It is a range depending on the level of support that I need to bring in to make the camp happen and the amount of services I'm providing. So if I'm bringing in somebody to do horse riding or a therapy dog, then there's a little more expense involved. Or if I have to have more professionals on board. And so that's kind of what I base my fees on, and it's a cash based. And so I have a website they can go on, they click and they can purchase the camp. And then they'll get sent a registration form where they have, forms to fill out for liability purposes, just understanding the details of camp. And so my camps range, I would say there's a range depending on the number of hours. But like if I were to figure out hourly, anywhere from $20 to $30 per hour of camp.
Right.
So yep. Like my Find Your Rhythm camp, which is a very popular camp, which I had to split for AM and PM because of high numbers, is like $375 for a half day for 15 hours of therapy time.
Okay. So, that's awesome.
Yeah. And, that's where this thing.
And you said you have like a ratio of 3 to 1. Mm-hmm. So usually have like 4 of you at the camp and then volunteers on top of that, or 2 of you, or do people kind of come and go through the week?
Anywhere from 2 to 4 professional staff, meaning either an OT or a speech and language pathologist, depending on the camp. We had a written language camp, which focused more on the process of writing. And so I had a speech therapist who kind of led that camp, and I was more of the support for that one. But anywhere from 2 to 4 professionals, and then everybody else is kind of volunteer.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah. And works really well. So, yeah.
Yeah. I love absolutely everything about this. This is really exciting.
Cool.
Okay. So let's jump back in time. When did this idea first come to you? When did you first start thinking about this?
Yeah. So I have worked in the school setting for a long time, which I have loved that job. But there was a point, 2012, that I was like, we're taking away play. We're taking away kind of knowing what is developmentally appropriate for kids. And so, and it was frustrating for me. And I was like, I want to provide something for kids outside of school that brings that all back. And so that was my first, like, what can I do? And so we cleared Buckthorn. We started just preparing the winter of 2012. And I said, I'm going to do this. And it's going to be fun, therapeutic camps. And we are going to focus on play and developmental skills. And let's do it. And then it happened. It just happened because I made the decision. I want to do it. Let's
That's good.
And I didn't have, you know, really high expectations, but I was up for the challenge. And I thought, we'll just see what happens. And if it's a no-go, it's a no-go. But
and I love that. And I think so many people are stuck. They have these ideas, but they're just too scared to take that next step. Or where do they go? How to, what to do? And you just got to do it. You just got to take action.
You just have to take action. That's right. And know that if it doesn't work out, I mean, that's okay too. Or you just kind of have to tweak it a bit, right? And learn from things that come your way or the feedback you get. Because it is a fair amount of work. And so you can't go into it thinking it's all going to be perfect.
Yes.
You know, there are challenges along the way, but you work with them and learn from it and grow. So.
Yeah. And that's exactly a lot of people, you know, I mean, it's, you have to be honest. It is a lot of work to start your own business, but it's so rewarding and valuable once you do.
Yes.
And I also love, we teach everyone that you learn from mistakes. So if it doesn't work, you're going to change and modify and improve for the next time. So
right on. That's right.
That's awesome. Okay. So what, thinking about that journey, what five main tips would you have to share with people that are wanting to start their own business?
Yeah. Oh, surround yourself with colleagues, professionals, you know, your family. I mean, they kind of all have to be on board and there to support you and encourage you and be helpful. That's number one. And so I think without the support of my immediate family, and my boys were real little when I started, but they got to be campers. So that was kind of cool. But my husband has been super helpful and encouraging, and he helped me set up this technology today because I was like, I don't know how to do this. So surround yourself with great people that see your vision, believe in your vision, and are there to support you, number one. Number two, when you have your mission statement, and I have done this now because it's valuable, is to revisit your purpose and revisit your mission statement. Know what you initially had in your mind and what you wanted to provide, because I felt like along the way you can be pulled in different directions. And then you're just like, okay, what am I doing? And then you start feeling overwhelmed. So go back and revisit your mission. What is it that I wanted to provide? Am I doing that? And then make decisions from that. Number three, establish those efficient business processes, which I know Kara has a whole list. If you have a Facebook group, awesome.
Share it today.
I didn't have that all, but I mean, that is a great, great resource. Because the more business processes you have in place, the easier everything will be too. So if you don't know that list, ask Kara. She has it. And it's, you know, your Facebook group, Kara, is amazing. It's been awesome. So,
thank you.
Thank you for that.
It goes back to your number one. We need to have a community of us supporting each other. And the more people know what people like you are doing, the more they get motivated and we can help each other and
that is take so the
next level. So
true. What's my fourth one? Don't be afraid to ask for support. So that just lends to what you just said. You know, I'm kind of an independent person, you know, and way back thought I had to have it all figured out and on my own, but you know, that's not true. that's why we have other people in our life. So it's okay to ask for help, to seek clarity and to try to figure it out with the help of others. It is okay to do that. You can still be confident and make your own decisions, but seeking advice is okay too. And the final thing, and this just goes to more when you're working with your clients or who your people out there that are coming to you, I don't think you can over communicate. I have learned that A, they don't really know what we do when they don't know the value that we bring to them. And so the more you can communicate that, I think the more people will feel comfortable with you and confident in what you can bring to them or to their families or to their child. So communication and clarity in communication with, your market out there, I think.
Well, and plus, I mean, since you keep expanding with number of camps, that communication with clients builds you're serving your clients, and then they're obviously spreading the word.
Right.
Exactly. To other people to bring you more and more clients. So. Yeah.
Yes. And I'm so appreciative of that.
Yeah.
I do like a seasonal, sometimes more often newsletter where I'm providing tips. And so, you know, I'm giving out information too. So that's just another way to kind of communicate as I use letters, but yeah.
Okay. So those are fabulous tips. Every single one of them, everyone write those down. I'm kind of interested, and you don't have to share if you don't want, but would you be interested in telling us what you're kind of looking at and expanding to, or is that kind of a secret?
No, it's not a secret. So my therapeutic camps, it's kind of more enrichment therapeutically, because I can't call it therapy, because that would be unethical. And so I would really like to kind of transition to, can I do therapy outdoors in nature year round, either one-on-one or even in a small group, because I really believe in the power of peers. And so I don't want to let that part go. But with that would become, you know, evaluation, setting up goals with families, tracking progress, all of that would come with that. And so that's kind of my next step, and probably hiring someone. So, yeah. So,
well, that's my next and that's awesome, because you have the clientele built in a way, or you have that, all those people that you already serve, and you can kind of take them to the next level to give that one-on-one treatment. Yes. So,
that's my hope. So we'll see what happens.
And would you offer that just out of your home, or, and then use the nature at your place? Or are you looking at a clinic, or are you looking at just doing it around your community?
I think I would start at my home property, but I have other ideas too that I'm not willing to share yet, because nothing has come to fruition quite yet. But I do have other ideas about a different location. But that's top secret right now.
Right.
So to start with, it would be here, and it would be outside. And of course, I live in Wisconsin, so that means snow and cold temperatures. But I think it's doable, and I do have an outbuilding space that's heated, and so we can navigate. We can make it work. But snow is powerful, so you know it's powerful, the proprioceptive system, tactile system. So it's a good thing. You just have to dress for the weather. So
I know you just can't be a wimp like me, but it is so good once you get out there and everything you do playing in the snow and I don't know, our kids are not out and about as much as they should be. So.
Yeah. Nope. Nobody's kids are anymore, but
yeah,
I'm going to bring that back. Yeah.
Yeah. I love absolutely everything about this. This is so exciting. I was telling Lisa before we started with the interview that one of my students, Taylor Beatty, I'll give a shout out to her, way back, gosh, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, she did her research project on therapeutic camps. And I so wish we would have known you at the time, because it would have been perfect. And she actually lives in around Minnesota, in Minneapolis area, I think. But
awesome.
If you need just saying, you know, she's currently getting her master's degree in OT. She's a COTA currently, but yeah, I'm going to send her your way. So that would be an awesome connection there. So
for sure.
Well, thank you so much for being on the podcast. And I am so excited to continue to learn more, and I love everything you're doing. So
you have
a fantastic day.
Thank you, Kara. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Next Level Occupational Therapy podcast. Be sure you check out the Next Level Occupational Therapy Facebook page to keep up to date on all the new happenings.